Good afternoon and welcome to the show. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip. We're glad that you've joined us this afternoon. If you'd like to be part of the show, you can call the studio at 457-1290, and it's going to be a busy show, so you may want to call in early. The number here is 457-1290. We'll get you up on the board, and we will try to get you to be part of this program as well. Shooting from the Hip is sponsored by Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. We're located on 2031 Dryden Road in Moraine. The phone number there at the range is 293-3914, and if you'd like to sign up for a class or to find out more about information about getting a membership, coming and shooting recreationally or any of the other programs that we have, we would be more than happy to answer those questions for you right there at the range during our regular hours, which are kind of irregular, actually, but we're open right now. The number, again, at the range is 293-3914, and we'd be happy to answer those questions and get you signed up for classes if you're interested in that. Today's program is going to be our last one for a while because we have the Dayton Flyer football season will be kicking off starting next Saturday. So we will not be on the air between now and the end of October. So if you have some questions that come up and something that you'd like to get an answer to while we're not on the air, you can certainly contact us through our website email, which is radio@sim-trainer.com. That's the email address for the radio show, and we'll get answers back to you as quickly as we possibly can on those. Radio@sim-trainer.com. If you would like to find out more about the program, maybe you're new to us. This is the first time you've heard about our show. And if you'd like to get more information about the show and listen to some of the shows that we've had in the past, read some of the notes from those, you'll find that on our website also at sim-trainer.com/radio. That's where you'll also find a link to our email and especially a link to our Shooting from the Hip fan page on Facebook. If you have a Facebook account, you can click on that and click like that page, and we would like to have you be a part of the group that is following our show and following the notes that I throw up there. Every so often when I'm doing show preparation or when something comes up during the middle of the week, I'll post something out there, maybe with a link to someplace, and let you have just a little bit of an idea of what's going on. So that's a great way to stay in touch. But again, if you would, if something comes up while we're not on the air and you have a question, please feel free to email us at radio@sim-trainer.com, or you can also go to the email page on our regular website at sim-trainer.com. And there's one other place that you might want to consider signing up for, and that is on our homepage at sim-trainer.com. There is a Sim Trainer email link, and if you sign up for that email list, that will give you notification of upcoming classes, and when, especially when we change things. Things like when we add a tactical rifle class in the fall, or if we add a shotgun class and you want to get signed up for that. I know there's a lot of people who've expressed an interest in doing that. So we're trying to work out the details to get those coordinated. And when we do that, we will send out an email to the membership list. Whether you're a member or not, you can be on that list if you're interested in what's going on there at Sim Trainer. That's the easiest way to do that. It's a very restricted list. It's not very active, so we're not going to be filling your email box, and I guarantee you that that list will never be sold or rented to anyone else. It's only things that we think will be of interest to the folks that are following what goes on at the range and maybe would like to get some advanced training. That is what we use that list for, and we guard it quite jealously. There's no way you can email to it, so somebody's not going to be able to send a note that suddenly gets sent to the entire list. Now, that's a pretty safe way for you to track the things that are going on. And, of course, there's always our website, and we keep that as updated as we possibly can, so you can always find the current schedules and so forth there as well. There are several classes. Again, since we won't be on until the end of October, there's a few things I wanted to let you know about. The First Shots class next weekend on September 1st still has some slots left in it. That's from 9 a.m. to noon. That's a morning class. That class is full, but there is still room in the October 4th class and the October 20th class for basic handgun as well. So if you're interested in those classes, you can find those on our calendar at sim-trainer.com. There's a range calendar link in the left column of the homepage. We do have a First Shots class, like I said, on September 1st, then also on Thursday, September 20th, and on Saturday, October 6th. In that one, the Thursday class is from 6 to 9 p.m., and Saturday, October 6th, is from 4 to 7 p.m. So we have one in the morning, one in the evening during the week, and then one in the afternoon on a Saturday. There, we do have a concealed carry class that's coming up in a couple of weeks, September 8th to 9th. So if you are interested in getting your license to carry concealed handgun, that's the class that we certainly recommend for that. You can also, if you have not shot before, we do recommend that you take some other training before that. The First Shots class is obviously the next class that's available and probably the last class that will be available before that concealed carry class. But we can also do that with private lessons. So again, if you're interested in doing that, contact us at the range at 293-3914 and we will get you signed up for those as well. Finally, the last class announcement I'd like to make sure you know about is that in October, we will be starting our advanced handgun series again. That's a 3-month series. We have 5 classes and we do them every 2 to 3 weeks to give you time to practice in between. The next series starts with Mastering Marksmanship Fundamentals, and that'll be on Saturday, October 13th. From 5 to 9 p.m. That class is already mostly full, but if you're interested in that, you can contact the range. You can get signed up for that. You can also go on our website and you can do a pre-registration, which lets you put in all the other information. We don't yet have a way to take payment on the website, but we're working on that. In the meantime, you can do the pre-registration on email and then contact the range to make payment and reserve your slot. We do require that you have completed your registration and pay for the slot before we will reserve it for you. And the reason we do that is to make sure that people who are signed up for the classes and holding a slot are really interested in taking the class. And then if somebody else wants to come in and they're not able to because that class is full and then somebody had just reserved it but doesn't show up, that's not fair to those people who would like to get the class as well. So that's why we've done that. It seems to have worked out pretty well. So if you're interested in doing that, those are some of the opportunities between now and the next time we'll be on the air, which will be at the end of October. Again, if you'd like to be part of the show today, if you have a question about something having to do with concealed carry, maybe something you've seen in the news, you can call the studio at 457-1290 and we'll get you up on the board. 457-1290 is the number here into the studio. You may have heard that there's an election coming in November. It's a little hard to miss if you spend any time listening to the radio or watching television. I think it's important that everybody, especially those of us who are interested in the firearms issues, it's really important to get involved, to know the candidate's stance on the issues. It's really dangerous if you just let all the media attention on the national election make you ignore the state, county, and local elections. There's, for example, in Ohio, we have a Supreme Court justice election this year, and it is very important for your right to keep and bear arms to understand what the Supreme Court justices believe about the right to keep and bear arms, about the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, and Article 1, Section 4 of the Ohio Constitution. The positions of the two candidates that are running are extremely different. They are couldn't be more opposite on the Second Amendment. There's a great letter from Jim Irvine, who is the chairman of the Buckeye Firearms Association. It's on their website, and it's linked to our Facebook page. If you haven't seen that letter, if you don't know what's going on in that election, I encourage you to go out to the website and read that letter and get involved. Maybe you have a way that you can support. Sometimes it's easy to think that our vote doesn't make that much difference because, you know, there's not really just one vote. I mean, so, you know, how's that going to really change the outcome of an election? When you're talking about an election that is like this, it could be very much the difference between just one or two votes that swings an election one way or the other. And it's really important to understand that. When you're looking at the national elections, and that does seem to be where a lot of the media focuses, is on the presidential election and the elections for national office, it's really easy to let that sway you to think that, you know, all right, so all this nonsense, I don't know who to believe, and it sounds like maybe they're not all telling the truth. They're really just trying to tell us whatever we'll believe in order to get them elected. Well, you know, I can certainly understand that perspective, but there's an awful lot more that goes on underneath and behind the scenes that it's important. We sometimes have to dig a little bit to find that out because it doesn't make as much news. So unless you do the research and find out exactly what these different candidates believe, you run the risk of placing a vote that is against your own best interest. And along those same lines, the NRA campaign field representative, James Lee, held the grand opening of the Dayton campaign headquarters this morning, starting at 11 o'clock. It's just kind of wrapping up now as we get started on the air. If you didn't get over there today, you need to stop by there. You'll have material you can pick up. They have places and phone banks that you can make calls to encourage people about this election and let them be informed about the facts with respect to your right to keep and bear arms. The Dayton campaign headquarters is located at 8943 Kings Ridge Drive. It's behind the Dayton Mall. And you can contact James Lee, who is the campaign field representative, at jamesleenra@hotmail.com, and that will get you to his box, and he will get back to you as quickly as possible. You can also call his cell phone. It's outside this area code. That's not a big deal for most of us who are calling from cell phones. So if you would like to find out more about how you can get involved in supporting the candidates who also support your right to keep and bear arms, that's a great place to get information. And I would encourage you to contact him, pick up some information, maybe get some yard signs, bumper stickers, handbills. His card is a huge thing that you can actually hand out. It's got a lot of information about the campaign and how you can get involved. It's a great way to do that. And I would strongly encourage, if you didn't get down there today, as I was unable to do that, that you contact them and try to find out what you can do, how you can get the word out, some of the issues and some of the positions of the various candidates. What is the best thing for you to do in order to have the most impact in this upcoming extremely important election? So that is at the, again, behind the Dayton Mall, Dayton NRA campaign headquarters at 8943 Kings Ridge Drive. We're going to take a break here in just a minute, but before we do that, I just want to give you kind of a quick heads up on what's coming down. There's a Bulletproof Mind Seminar. We've talked about that before. We'll talk about it a little bit more, tell you how to get signed up for that. And then there have been a lot of things that have happened in the last few days, shootings and tragic situations. So we will talk a little bit about those if you're interested. Again, if you'd like to be part of the show, contact the studio at 457-1290. 457-1290 is the number here into the studio, and we'll be right back after this break. This is Mark Avery for Shooting From the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290, News Talk Radio, WHIO. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery for Shooting From the Hip. If you would like to be part of the show today, give the studio a call at 457-1290. 457-1290 is the number into the Master Control Suite, and our producer, Justin, will be taking the call and getting you up on the board and giving me just a little bit of idea what you'd like to talk about. And we would love to have your calls today. Again, it is going to be a pretty busy show because it is our last show before the break for Dayton Flyer football. So if you have a question that you've been wanting to ask, this is a great time to get in and do that. You may have heard on Friday, yesterday, that there was another multiple casualty shooting, or you may have heard about it yesterday. And the problem is, it's a little different from some. It's a problem is anytime somebody decides that they're going to take a gun and go cause harm to people. This was a situation, apparently, somebody who had been fired and decided to come back and get revenge. It was a multiple casualty shooting, but what's kind of different about this one is that first it was in New York City, which is a place where guns are essentially banned. It's very difficult for the average citizen to get a license to carry a concealed handgun, and you must have a permit to actually even possess a firearm in your own home. You can't get that until you've lived there for 6 months, and there's several restrictions on it. It's one of the more restrictive areas for owning firearms anywhere in the country. And yet this guy had a firearm, and he went down to just outside the Empire State Building in downtown Manhattan. The police were very quickly on the scene because in the way that Mayor Bloomberg described it in his early press conference is that the police were there on their normal counterterrorism assignments outside the Empire State Building. So like I said, it was right in that area. And yet the shooter was still able to accomplish his objective, which was apparently to take out one person. As he was leaving, there was someone who had been watching from a scaffold, a construction worker, and followed him and kept track of where he was. And when the police came around, he pointed them out. It was at that point that he reached into his bag and started to draw his firearm. Now, there are some conflicting reports as to whether he actually fired or simply drew it out and made a threat to that effect. Either way, obviously, the police were in immediate risk of bodily harm, and they drew back, and then they fired on him. Unfortunately, there was a lot of what sometimes is called collateral damage. Several of other people were injured as a result of that ensuing battle, and it wasn't from the original shooter, as it is now showing out. In fact, originally reported that Mayor Bloomberg said that nine others had been shot, and that some by the perpetrator and some may have been accidentally shot by police officers. It now appears that all of those who were shot, other than the one person who this perpetrator had decided he was going to kill, everybody else was shot collateral damage by the police officers. Now, I think this is something that we as licensed citizens need to take very seriously. I'm not going to try to argue with or to take a shot at the police officers. I think that under stress, we know that there are things that don't work as well in the real world as they do on the range when you practice. That is one of the reasons why at Sim Trainer, we go out of our way to simulate a stressful environment, to try to help you prepare for the situation that is going to be one of the most stressful of your lives. And clearly these officers were in that kind of a situation. And yet there was still a situation where there were other people that were injured as a result of the actions and shots that did not go where they were supposed to. If you're a person who's licensed to carry concealed handgun and you have not been to the range since you got your license, let me encourage you that it is very important that you get regular practice, that you do what is the best you can in order to prepare yourself for that situation, which is absolutely going to be one of the most stressful days of your life. If you are not prepared to deal with that, if you have not practiced to the point where the firearm is an automatic extension of your hand and arm, if you still have to think about the procedures that you go through and what do I have to do to make all this work and what do I have to do to get this magazine reloaded into the gun and exchange things to clear a malfunction, those sorts of activities, if that's not completely automatic and you can do it completely without thinking, at the level we like to call unconscious competence, where you don't even have to think about doing it and you do it correctly, if you're not at that point, let me encourage you to get some additional training, to get more time behind your gun, to go out and practice on a regular basis. And by regular, I mean probably 50 rounds at least once a month, but more often than that would be better. Some people say, well, I'm going to, you know, shoot a couple of boxes or three boxes in a session, and I'm going to do that every couple or 3 months. That's not as valuable. It's much better to do it on a regular basis and do less of it and practice with a purpose. So that's what I would encourage you to do, and that's a lesson I think that we can take out of that tragic situation in New York. We need to take a break here at the bottom of the hour, go out to the news center where Daryl will be giving us an update on the news. Call us in the studio if you'd like to be on the show at 457-1290. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290. News Talk Radio, WHIO.
God bless America. This is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
90 degrees in Dayton. I'm Daryl Bauer, WHIO Continuing News. If news breaks, we could break it any time. Now back to Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. Thank you, Daryl. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip. If you'd like to be part of the show today, call the studio at 457-1290. Shooting from the Hip is sponsored by Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. If you'd like to get more information about some of the programs we offer, you can go to our website at sim-trainer.com. And there is a calendar and lists of all the classes and so forth available there. We're at 2031 Dryden Road in Moraine, just south of the river, north of the I-75 exit off of Dryden Road. And so it's pretty easy to get to most of the time until something breaks on the freeway. One of the things I mentioned earlier was the Bulletproof Mind Seminar. And if you're not familiar with Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman, He's a retired Army Lieutenant Colonel. He's done a tremendous amount of research on the violent encounters and what you have to do to mentally prepare for the worst, one of the worst days you'll ever deal with. Mental preparation for conflict is critical to being successful during that time, being able to come out of it, dealing with the situation, and being ready to do whatever it is you need to do. There is going to be a seminar. He's going to be back in the area. He's been here a few times before. It's being sponsored by the Buckeye Firearms Association. And so if you would like to get more information on that, I've put a link on our Sim Trainers Shooting from the Hip page at Facebook, at Facebook/Sim Trainer. You can also get to it from our radio page, sim-trainer.com/radio. It's going to be on the 13th of October at the Kings Island Resort. Early registration is only $79, but that ends next Saturday. So after that, the price is $99, still a great bargain, but you might want to use that extra $20 to get the gas to drive down there and back. We have spoken many times about being mentally prepared for the violent encounter, and Dave Grossman is perhaps the foremost authority. Teachers, you especially need this seminar. It's not only about armed defense. It's about mental preparation for what happens and how can you prepare to deal with it should there be an attack at your school. He also has a separate session specifically tailored to the in-service. So administrators, if you are interested in finding out more information about that, he would also be able to do that. This would be a good intro to that. The Bulletproof Mind, a Tactical Mindset for Armed Citizens is the name of the course, and it's extremely valuable. If you would like to get more information on that, again, there are links on our page at facebook.com/simtrainer. Let's go out to the phones and talk to Trent, who's calling from Dayton. Trent, thank you very much for calling the show. How can I help you?
Hi, I'd like for my wife and I to come out to Sim Trainer soon, but I want to purchase my wife the right firearm before we come out. And someone had given me some advice about a pink firearm, first of all, but a hammerless revolver, something that she could fit in her purse and be able to pull it out without it getting caught. And so I'm kind of battling between that and a small, maybe a Versa 380.
Okay. Let me recommend that you do that in the reverse order. Come to Sim Trainer first before you go to buy the gun, and then especially if you want to take our basic handgun class, but again, we can do that with private lessons as well. The basic handgun class, we take a bunch of guns out of the safe, and we cover the basic fundamentals of how do you place an accurate shot, all the safety issues, and then everybody gets to go try a whole bunch of different guns, and that's really the best way to figure out what works best for her. Any gun can be made pink. Frankly, I'm serious. There's a product called Duracoat, and there's a guy here in the Dayton area that does Duracoat. We have his cards at the range, Rick's Glocksworks, and he can turn any gun any color you want. So don't let pink be the issue. Make sure that the gun fits properly, that it's best suited for her and what she wants to do. And then the question of how do you carry it? You can carry pretty much any gun. I don't really recommend carrying a purse. And we go over that in some detail in our concealed carry class. Some people decide to do that anyway, and that's fine. But there are some limitations, and you need to understand what those are for those who plan to carry in a purse. But really, the most important thing is that if you pick out the gun, you're not going to get it right. I don't care how well you know her, how good your intentions. Guys, we aren't going to be able to get the right gun for our significant others. You need to let them pick it out. And the best way to do that is to come down and let them try it. That's absolutely, bar none, the most positive way that you can set that up. If she's interested, if she wants to get a gun, that is by far the best way to do it. Now, we've had a lot of folks who have come down and they've they come down with a gun, and it's like one like you just described, a hammerless, a revolver, light, easy to carry. And the first time they shoot it, they say, wow, I hate this thing. And that's the worst time, because now you've got a gun that's been fired, and even in the most generous gun store can't take it back as new any more than a car dealer can take the car back if you drive it off the lot. So really the best thing you can do is to try it before you buy it. Now, we do have that program as well. just try it before you buy it. You come down, pay $10, you get some range time, and then try a gun. You buy a box of ammo to go with it, obviously. The whole thing usually comes out around $25-26. And then if you have a pretty good idea as to what you want and you just want to try a couple out, that's a great way to do it. But if you're starting from scratch and she doesn't really know for sure what she wants and she hasn't really studied the different handguns that much, that is by far the best way to come down. Don't buy the gun first. Come down, try some things. And then if you've got a relationship with a gun shop someplace, go to that gun shop and buy the gun. If you don't, we sell guns as well, and we'd be happy to get you hooked up with that.
Great advice. I'm going to come out there soon. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for calling, Trent. Appreciate it. Let's talk to Mick, who's calling from Beaver Creek. Mick, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I've got basically two questions. The first one is, do you know of any incidents where an establishment that had the no carry sign was sued because of that and successfully won?
No. Because they have the sign? Or because they...
Because they have the sign and someone was injured because they were not permitted to carry?
In Ohio, the law is biased against any kind of an award. There is a specific clause in the Ohio code that exempts liability for people who don't post a sign or if they do. So if they prohibit carry or if they allow carry, either way, there is an exemption from liability. Now, that doesn't mean somebody can't get sued, but it makes it very much more unlikely that they would ever be successful in that suit. So I'm not personally aware of any. I heard that there was one where somebody didn't have a sign, but they have a company policy that prohibits carry, and then somebody who was shot, the family is in the process of suing because the manager who was carrying in opposition to company policy, even though it wasn't illegal. And so they're using that as kind of a canard for suing because, you know, the person was carrying and they thought they figured, well, then the employees won't be carrying because that's against company policy. Somehow the suit failed to mention that it was the robber that got shot and killed. And so this is, you know, maybe they thought that would hurt their case. But okay. No, I'm not aware of any situation where someone was sued in either way, whether they did have a sign or did not have a sign, and that
okay,
was successful.
Well because of the way I guess the law is written, that it kind of explains that.
Right.
My second question was, I was told by a director of a nursing home that all nursing homes in the state of Ohio were supposed to have signs and they'd get cited if they did not, according to something with the Department of Health and Long-Term Care. Have you heard anything about that?
No, I have not, and it's not coded that way in the law. The law does not, unless it's a mental health facility, that would not apply. So if it was a psychiatric care facility, that's
a completely different. Nursing home, but
yeah.
What I'm wondering is, could the Department of Health just say, well, we want every nursing home to do that?
Not legally. I'll have to do some more research on that to see if there's something beyond that. But in terms of what the law says, nursing homes, hospitals, again, unless it's mm-hmm. a mental health facility,
right.
They are not off limits by law. Now, if somebody, if it's a private facility and they choose to post it on their own, well,
right.
You know, that's their prerogative to do that.
Yeah.
And the signs.
Kind of an organism where they say, no, we don't want, you know, them to do that.
Think but it's not before, and I am quite familiar with the law, and the law absolutely does not say anything to that effect.
Okay, I don't want to monopolize the time, but I have one other quick question.
Okay, quickly, we got in a couple minutes.
I'm going to be taking a trip to Maryland. I do have a Ohio license, and I have a Pennsylvania license. I have not been able to find out about Maryland.
Well, Maryland is a very restrictive carry state. They do issue licenses to their own citizens. They don't have reciprocity with anybody. And so you won't be able to carry while you're there. Now, you can go ahead and carry while you on your way there. You just need to make sure it's unlocked. Now, if that's your destination, there's not, as far as I'm aware, there's not a prohibition on possession, but you will not be able to have it loaded, and you'll have to have it locked up in you know, some part of the
vehicle. Is there a way that they have a non-resident where I could get a license?
That I am not sure about, but based on the reluctance that they have in issuing licenses to their own citizens, my guess would be that would be a pretty far stretch.
Because I know their Supreme Court just recently, not too long ago, passed a thing in our favor.
Right.
Where they were requiring, are you familiar with that one?
Yes, I am. And what that does, that was only talking about resident licenses, and they were saying that the standard of saying that you must have must justify a need was not constitutional according to the Maryland Constitution. But that's a little bit different situation.
Okay, great program. Enjoy your show. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thanks very much for calling the show. Very quickly, let's go out to Patrick in Huber Heights. Thanks very much for calling the show.
Oh, hi, boys. How you doing today?
We're doing fine.
I got a question. I live in Huber Heights, and I'm aware that Ohio has an open carry law. I also have a concealed carry license, and my concern is can they pull you over, ticket you if you open carry in the state of Ohio?
As long as you have a license to carry a concealed handgun, it doesn't matter how you carry in your motor vehicle. So you do have to have a license in order to have it loaded in your motor vehicle.
Yes.
But you don't have to carry concealed in your vehicle. You can. In fact, the few provisions that there were four specific requirements, and those were repealed on September 30th of last year. So right now, there's no restriction on how you have that loaded handgun in your motor vehicle. So
about outside the motor vehicle?
Outside the motor vehicle, again, Ohio allows open carry, but when you do that, now you're running the problem of other people who don't understand all of those things. And people who get scared just because they're not used to seeing people that have guns walking around in the street. So there have been several situations where people call the police and say, oh, there's a man with a gun. They have no choice but to respond to a call like that. But it doesn't mean that you were doing anything illegal. It's just something that you can expect that you'll have a little bit of extra time talking to law enforcement in that situation. We need to take our last break for the hour. Patrick, thanks very much for calling the show. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip. If you'd like to be in the last few minutes of the show, call the studio at 457-1290. We'll get you up on the board. You're listening to Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the show. Thanks for sticking with us. There is a change that's coming to Ohio law. It takes effect on Tuesday, and I just want to give you a real quick heads up as to what this is about. It could affect people who have wanted to get a concealed handgun license but weren't able to because of something that was in their legal history. Senate Bill 337 passed back on June 13th. It's a long bill that changes many provisions of Ohio law respecting criminal penalties and handling of juvenile offenses, court procedures, and so forth. But one change in particular changes the requirements for having an earlier conviction expunged. The new law removes the term first offender and replaces it with eligible offender, and it defines that as anyone who has been convicted of offense in this state or any other jurisdiction and who has not more than one felony conviction, not more than two misdemeanor convictions if the convictions are not of the same offense, or not more than one felony conviction and one misdemeanor conviction. And in that case, and that would be in this state or any other jurisdiction. So currently, if you have more than one offense on your record, you're ineligible to have your record expunged. Starting Tuesday, it will be possible to have two offenses expunged if they meet those certain specific requirements. So if you've been excluded from getting a license because of problems in your past, check with your attorney and ask what impacts the changes to Ohio Revised Code 2953.31, that's Ohio Revised Code, ORC, section 2953.31, and what those changes might have on your ability to get those offenses expunged. Don't call me. I've just already told you more than I understand about those changes, but I wanted to get that word out because it is something that could affect some people who have wanted to get a license but couldn't. Let's go back out to the phones and talk to Bob, who's calling from Miami Township. Bob, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm a concealed carry holder in Ohio, and I'm planning a lengthy trip out west and going to spend considerable time in California, Oregon, and Texas, which aren't reciprocal states. And I wanted to carry a handgun basically for some areas in Texas I'm going to be in that are very wild and rugged, and I was just wondering what you suggested.
Well, you can get a Texas non-resident license, as I understand it. That's not too difficult to get. You can also get a Pennsylvania license. Pennsylvania has reciprocity with Texas, and you would be able to do that. Depending on when you're going, it's possible that House Bill 495 that's pending, that's currently over, it's been passed in the House and is pending in the Senate. It's possible that could get passed, and that would give us reciprocity most likely with Texas and Pennsylvania almost immediately. But going to California, there's no way you're going to be able to carry there. They don't issue reciprocity with anybody, and they don't have a non-resident license that you can get.
Well, would I be okay just keeping it in the trunk? Or
yeah, and you need to go to the section of the for the interstate transportation of firearms, Title 18, 18 U.S. Code 926 Alpha.
Okay.
18 U.S.C. 926A, and then that gives you the specific requirements for interstate transportation of a firearm. You must be able to legally possess the firearm at every destination in order for those restrictions to apply. But if you do that, you'll be able to transport through those areas. I don't recommend even going through New Jersey or New York, but since you're going west, it's a little bit less of a problem. Thanks very much for calling the show. Let's quickly go out and talk to Larry, who's calling from Springfield. Larry, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Got about 30 seconds.
I have a quick question. I went into a business establishment. There's posted no firearms on these premises unless otherwise authorized by law.
Yeah, the otherwise authorized by law provision talks about law enforcement. It doesn't talk about concealed carry. So if those signs are posted, they do apply to those of us who have a license to carry concealed handgun. And it going those they do carry the force of law. So you could be charged with criminal trespass if you violate those laws. Folks, thanks very much for being part of the show today. We are out of time. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and at our website at sim-trainer.com. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio, WHIO.